matter what people say. We got it going on. Who cares about what they think?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the street.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beats,
spazzle,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. So I know it's been a couple of weeks since I've been live on the show. I know we've been playing some replays. Things have been, you know, it's life. Things happen, right? But I'm so happy to be back to actually be current with some of these current events and really just kind of dive into some of the topics. But before we get into any of that, I wanted to take this moment. I wanted to give a very special shout out to my son, Jediah Glenn, fruit of my ovaries, who turned 13 on November 1st. So big shout out to him. It's been an interesting weekend. We've tried, I don't know how you really turn up with a 13-year-old, but we've tried to be out there, you know, dinner, brunch. He had some events with the church. Thank God for the church. We had a game night. We cut the cake at the church. So thank God for the church. Shout out to Hebron SDA for providing a platform to celebrate my son's birthday. But I definitely wanted to take this time to shout him out on the radio and give him that, you know, give him that special attention. So for today's show, we're going to go through our preliminaries. I know it's been a couple of weeks. I know it's been some time. We haven't really, you know, had our womp womp and our Urban Dictionary word of the week, etc. So we're going to have all that today. And we're going to have our very special guest, Laura Jean-Jacques, who is going to be back on the show to talk about her Belonging Arts Experience event that took place a couple of months ago. If you guys remember, she was on the show, I think maybe early August, to talk about the event and talk about what's going to, you know, what's going to go into the event and the purpose of the event, etc. So the event has, you know, come and went, and now she is back to talk, you know, kind of to recap the day, recap the event, and to talk about her next steps. And so, you know, just a little info on that. Belonging Arts Experience is an immersive experience, immersive art experience, in which, you know, Laura's agenda is to eradicate sexual violence in our communities. And so this experience, this event was just, you know, one of the steps in that direction and kind of, you know, addressing the issue in a very creative and a very different way. So you definitely want to keep it locked to hear all of that. But before we get to Laura, let's get into our preliminaries and let's talk about the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Happen on fleek, lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word of the week is, I don't know, it's a bit interesting. I don't even know. So basically, it was really hard finding an Urban Dictionary word of the week this time around because for whatever reason, Urban Dictionary had like every day in October was a word of the week or a word of the day. I don't know. They had like October 27th had its meaning. They had October 28th as a meaning. At some point, I'm figuring, okay, I guess Urban Dictionary has nothing better to do. They've run out of material and this is what's happening in these streets. But I was able to find something that seemed interesting enough. So the word of the week is no OJ. And so no OJ, basically, even this one's a little bit funny or weird, whatever, but no OJ, someone who didn't do it, but is being pronounced guilty anyways. He is the opposite of OJ, who did it, but got off scot-free. Example, it's not no OJ, it's no J. I'm sorry. No J someone who just didn't do it, but is being pronounced guilty anyways. He is the opposite of OJ, who did it, but got off. That NoJ was convicted of killing his family, but I think someone just snuck in and killed them while he slept. If you just killed your family, could you just go back to sleep? Jane then says, Jane needs to let her NoJ boyfriend off the hook. Just because he has a hot coworker doesn't mean they're doing it. Okay, at this point, my people who are listening, let's be creative. Clearly, Urban Dictionary has run out of material. They have run out of material. This is why we're getting these phrases that make no sense whatsoever. I don't even have commentary for this NoJ business. And I literally was scrolling through. None of these terms are making sense these days. I don't know if it's because we're in the fourth quarter. It's the end of the year. They've probably taken a different approach. They are not ending the year strong. They've decided just to, you know what, we're giving up. We'll start fresh in January. I'm not really sure what's going on here. But for those of you creatives out there who like to come up with things, let's come together. Let's create some real phrases and let's send them to Urban Dictionary. Because if not, I might have to find something. I might have to find another segment to give. Because I have been routinely disappointed with Urban Dictionary lately. But this is just ridiculous. This is just ridiculous. Either way, NoJ, that is the word of the week. So now we are up to my most favorite section of the show. It is now time for the big up of the week.
Watch it. And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. What?
So this week's big up of the week goes to a young, vibrant, dynamic Haitian woman who's doing a lot of great work in the community. Her name is Ruth Jamari. And Ruth is a woman I've met about a year ago. It was a connection made through another one of my cousins, George Center, you, so shout out to you. We met about a year ago at Laku Cafe. We had a very robust conversation. And, you know, from then, I've definitely been aware and have seen her in the streets just doing amazing things for the community. She is actually the founder of the Ogres Project, which is a social impact nonprofit organization aiming to help people in Léogâne, Haiti. And so Ruth was a competitor in the Nike Uprising competition, and she won. And she had designed a shoe that basically was a replica of the Haitian Revolution and the uniforms of the men who fought in the Haitian Revolution. And so, with that being said, the mission really of the sneakers, or the creation of the sneakers, was to raise awareness to the Haitian Revolution and our story. And so the sneakers now are available online for the next 10 days. So they went on sale November 1st, and the sale is going to end November 10th. They cost around $140 plus tax, shipping and handling. But at the end of the day, I know some of you guys are probably scoffing at the cost of these sneakers, but these sneakers are on par with the rest of the Nike store. I know, because I just bought sneakers the other day, and they are about that price. So, but it's for a good cause. I mean, how many of you will be able to say that you have Haitian Revolution sneakers on your feet? Exactly. So definitely go out and support our girl. I mean, this is very, very big for the community. It's very, very big for history, in my opinion. I mean, the Haitians have a shoe out there. We have a sneaker being manufactured by Nike and was designed by one of our own, because many times things are being designed by others and we have other people telling our stories. But here we have a young Haitian woman who's out here, not just out here, but she's doing the work. She designed this shoe, and she's able to tell the story. She's able to share the story from the perspective of a Haitian. And so I think it's really important that we go out there and support her. Like I said, you can get the shoe on the Nike website. The sale is still going on. It ends on November 10th. It's only for 10 days, so you definitely want to put an alert in your phone. Do whatever you got to do. And for those of you guys who are like, I already got paid. Well, payday for a lot of people is going to be November 8th is Friday. So you still have time to get your paycheck and to put some, money in supporting the movement. Ruth is going to have a special launch to, a launch event, rather, I guess, to launch, you know, the shoe and the program and what is it she's doing. So you definitely want to stay tuned for any information. So keep it locked for that. And so now we are on to our Womp Womp of the Week. So this week's Womp Womp of the Week, it hails. It's very interesting. It's a Womp Womp of the Week, but it's a very interesting story. So we all know that Halloween was what, the other day? And this story hails out of Georgia. Aside from Texas, Florida, Georgia is the next state that always gives me material. I could never run out of womp womps messing with the South. So basically the headline went like this. So this is a headline that was in USA Today. It was pretty much all over social media. Sex offenders sue sheriff who put no trick-or-treat signs in their front yard. So the sheriff's department in Butts County, Georgia, is not playing games. They're taking their call to duty very, very seriously. And so what they went around doing was placing no trick-or-treat signs in front of the yards of registered sex offenders to basically alert the community, i.e. the children, really, to not go and trick-or-treat on these people's, on these people's properties, at these people's homes, because they may snatch you up. And so these registered sex offenders were very offended that the sheriff's department was going around doing this because, I guess, you know, in their opinion, you know, they're violating their privacy and they're putting them out on Front Street and whatnot. And they did not appreciate the fact that they, you know, the sheriffs were going onto their property to place these signs to alert the community. So there was supposed to be a hearing held. I haven't gotten any information on that as to, you know, a hearing in the court of law before a judge to determine whether or not, I guess, this was an actual violation. I'm surprised that I haven't seen anything yet, but there was supposed to be a hearing to rule on this particular thing. But Halloween has come and went, and basically the sheriff's department was like, we don't really care what's going to happen, what decision is going to come down. We are putting these signs. We are going to do what we need to do to let the community know to stay off of these properties and, you know, and to keep it moving. Basically, one of the sheriffs was like, I'm not in the business of making them happy. I'm in the business of keeping safe communities and making sure that our children are protected. Now, so the womp womp of the week for me is the sex offenders. Listen, you guys are on the registry, okay? You did what you did, or you at least were convicted of something, you know, to the extent of dealing with children. I don't know. My thing is, it's Halloween. Children are in these streets. You are a registered sex offender. You're already on the list. Your information is already made public. Everybody knows who you are. All we have to do is Google, and we know where your house is. The community knows. But children, you know, sometimes the parents do let the children go out, and especially if it's their community, they let the children go out and trick or treat on their own, right? So it's not, there's not always a guardian or a person of age with these kids while they're trick or treating, especially if it's like, you know, daytime trick or treating. If the parents are allowing their kids to trick or treat around 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, which happens in many areas, the parents will often let them go in little groups and go alone. These kids are not on the internet. These kids don't know who the sex offender house is. They don't know what's going on. I personally don't see anything wrong with the sheriff, you know, doing what he did. I don't know. I mean, it might be an unpopular opinion. You guys might think that I'm crazy, but when it comes to the safety of the children in this particular instance, we're talking about, it's not like the sheriff has a sign on these people's properties 365 days a year just to be like, listen, these people are nasty. This is what they did. Do not even communicate with them. It's Halloween. It's a holiday where we know little children all over the world are being lured by sex offenders and the like. And it's, you know, this is the one time where I'm like, the sheriff's department, you know, he did what he had to do to take care of these children, to protect these children and to keep them away from people who are registered sex offenders. I mean, I feel like these sex offenders had nothing but time to waste to go and put a file a suit and sue the Georgia Sheriff's Department for putting no trick or treat signs, you know, on their property to let children know that this is not a place to go. Now, I don't know. I mean, because I'm trying to think of what other way could they have done it? Should the sheriffs have been on the sidewalk blocking, you know, standing patrol and saying, not this house? I mean, which one's more invasive? I don't know. I'm actually curious as to what you guys might think of this, so definitely let me know. But that's our womp womp of the week. So now we are on to the meat of the show. All right, everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, Laura Jean-Jacques. Laura, say hello.
Hello.
So for those of you who are avid According to RP listeners, you will know that this is Laura's third time
being on the show. I'm happy to be back.
Yes, of course. We always love you being here, Laura.
I love to be here, too. Mm-hmm.
So, Laura, you are the founder of Alignment Arts and the curator of Belonging Arts Experience.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. It's long, but it makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Mm. Now, the last time you were on the show, it was August, because we were getting ready for your Belonging Arts Experience Expo, right? I feel like I give it a name each time. Expo,
yeah, you do.
Movement.
Whatever makes you remember it.
I mean,
right?
It's more than just an event. So it's like, I'm trying to find, like, what word do I really want to attribute to it? But I guess experience is really what it is.
I think when we think about belonging, it's more immersive and experiential. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of get to put your own definition to what that is. And so I think you're kind of spot on like how you're interpreting belonging. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is an immersive art experience.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And so I know the last time we were here, we were talking about, you know, what the purpose of belonging is, what is belonging, what you expected to kind of get from the two-day experience. And so it took place August 29th and August 30th, right?
Yes.
In Brooklyn, New York. And it was held at Recess?
Yeah, Recess Arts.
Okay. And I know I was able to go on the 29th, so I was able to experience it myself. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can talk a little bit more later on about, you know, what my experiences were, but I kind of wanted to bring you back on the show and talk about, you know, what you being the curator of this experience, like what your, I guess what your, I keep using the word experience, but what your experience
was.
What your process was, mm-hmm. And how you thought all of it came together.
I think the process or the production process of belonging was about a 6 to 7 week stretch. Mm-hmm. And everything that was part of that experience, like the opening night and the closing night, was pretty deliberate and well thought out. There was a lot of things in the background that my team and I kind of went through, from like, okay, what would it look like if people were triggered? What does it look like for people to revisit their trauma, specifically sexual violence, right? To be triggered, revisit that trauma, and then like start the healing work, or say like, hey, I might still need more healing, and understand that it's a continuous process. I think we talked about that the last time I was here as well. But like, leading up to that was anywhere from like the colors that were going to be used in the show to deliberately picking the artists that we're going to be showcasing. It was important for me to have all survivors of sexual violence be these featured artists, anywhere to like our support team, our volunteers. I mean, these were well thought out roles, and how we wanted to activate the space, even from choosing the space to choose Recess Arts. You know, they cater to providing high quality education to underserved youth, you know, providing them access to, you know, performing arts and, you know, creating art in different ways that they normally wouldn't be exposed to. And so even to like how people were activated from the outside of the space before they went in to when they walked through the door, every, like, we did go through like a step-by-step process, and then some things actually happened the day of, and to even watch some of that aspect of the show happen and the way that people received it was amazing. And so I think my team and I were still coming off of belonging, although it's been about a month and change.
Yeah.
I think it's been about 5 weeks since belonging happened. I mean, belonging is still happening. People got to experience the two-day immersive art experience, but we do have a lot of other initiatives that we're activating under Belonging, which is also Alignment Arts, and the causes that we're coming behind. I know we just did a domestic violence walk with Ray of Hope for their New York chapter. That was amazing. We've been going into like intention candles, like creating product that's calling people to continue their healing work. And there's several other things that we're rolling out.
Well, it's good to hear, because a lot of times when people, you know, do what many would call events, you know, because although it's an experience for us, because we understand the meaning behind it, we understand, like, you know, what all went into it. But from an outsider's perspective, when they see, you know, oh, this is an event that took place, okay, that's great. It had a cause, that's great. And then, okay, like, you know, well, let me know when the next one is. But it's good to see that even coming off of this experience, that, you know, the, I guess, the activity that you were seeking, that you talked about the last time you were on the show, is still taking place. Because I know that it was really important for you to be more about the action as opposed to just being another platform that's just, you know, pushing, you know, content out, but not really doing anything about it. It was, you know, you wanted to be more than just the talk, and you wanted to walk the walk. And so I think it is important for, you know, the people who are tuning in, who probably were like, oh, I wonder whatever happened to, you know, to Belonging, to see that it actually is still going on, like you said. And you've been able to penetrate different realms.
I think if we go to like just simple things like digital content, we're still rolling out content from the 2 days. I mean, we have thousands of files, from even videos to like the stories that we'll be telling behind every single artist, to like around every single art piece that was featured, to, you know, call to actions that took place within the space. And, you know, we're probably going to be rolling out for a while. And so, like, I think those people that were unable to like attend in person will get to kind of experience a different version of Belonging online. But yeah, I didn't want it to be another like immersive art experience with pretty walls and all these like, you know, just features of the space. I really wanted people to come in and say, like, I've never experienced something like this before, through an art form. And I still get comments sent to me. I'm getting emails. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback, you know, and people just encouraging me and my team to continue with Belonging. I think it goes back to the conversation, like, if this was about me, it would probably be like pretty painted walls and some artwork hanging up. But because this was not a conversation about solely Laura's experience, I was able to really dig deeper and call on for different various forms of support, but also to challenge even the artists that were featured in the show to like really dig deep and stretch and, you know, decide on how they wanted to show up, how they wanted to, like, you know, break the news down to their family for the first time. I mean, we had people here that had never come forward. You know, I had people messaging me afterwards saying, like, you know, I'm going to go and like pursue like legal action against like my attacker. And these people are in their 40s, right? And, you know, I have people that are still dealing with triggering, including myself, and like, you know, allowing them to honor like their healing process and what that looks like, and saying, okay, you get to seek therapy and you get to seek these things, and having like just different experiences post Belonging.
I mean, I definitely think that the experience was powerful. I was Instagram living, and I was video, you know, what do you call it on Instagram? You take a little video when you post in your stories. And people were, as I was posting and as I was live streaming, they were asking questions like, what is this? And I know one of the artists that was very, I guess, prominent in my DMs, at least, people were asking so many questions, was the woman who was in the gold paint.
That was Jessie Zinn.
Okay, yeah, and with, I guess, I don't know if it was
meat.
Yeah,
was
with the meat, the raw meat, and with the raw blood, and just, like, you know, her depiction. People were just like, what is this? It looks intense. Like, where are you? And then, you know, as they were seeing like the rest of the images that I was, you know, posting, and I was able to get some of the poetry on there, they were like, wow, like this looked like it was a real deep experience. And this was just from little clips. Like, they weren't there, but they were just seeing little clips, and they were already like seeing. And then once I told them, you know, what it was, like, this is, you know, in experience, you know, focused on sexual, ending sexual violence and bringing awareness. They were just like, wow, this is interesting. Cause you don't really see things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to be the platform where we show up in an event, we have an information table.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really what surviving sexual violence looks like, you know? And I just wanted really, if you say that you're going to show up and support, not only that, like, just like, to have an experience where it's just like, it's very real. Like, this is a very real experience for those of us who have experienced it day to day. But it also, there was a lot of like playful undertones, mm-hmm. which was really my ask of like, what would it have felt like to be a child that didn't experience sexual mm-hmm. violence?
Right? Yeah.
Do we get to play again? Are we hula hooping? Are we doing this? And I'm not giving mm-hmm. away the entire concept. Although the belonging now is going to be a whole different energy in itself. But there was a lot of requests to be like, can we just play?
Yeah.
Can we just tap into this part of ourselves that's not dark and is not going through depression or triggering, where we're just like so innocent, but also tapping into like, this is what so much of innocence feels like, even when you're going through that mm-hmm. trauma. To the point where you may be a victim, or your child or someone may be experiencing, and they're still in that innocent stage, and how that preys to like that appeals to like predators, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just a lot of undertones. I was not shocked. What I was shocked about was how open people showed up in the space,
mm-hmm.
willingly to participate in something that they had no idea about. I mean, even the artists were not made aware of like, what does the process look like? Mm-hmm. And that was done deliberate, obviously, to avoid like triggering and like being us being in our heads as artists outside of being survivors, right? And
mm-hmm.
just kind of like allowing like an organic energy to flow through the space, and also creative energy. And you know, there was, I hadn't drawn on a piece of paper since I was in high school,
mm-hmm.
right? And so like, to be able to sit at the table with my sister, right, from another mister, right, and to be drawing houses and pink hearts, and you know, and to be painting nails, and also like to show up in there saying like, I'm gonna show up in here like really in my sexual power, which is something that we struggle all the time with. Like, you know, for me to put on a mesh top and a white bra and a see-through shirt was a lot for mm-hmm. me, because that's not something that I do.
I mean, I didn't recognize you. I was like, I know she has a twin. Is that her twin?
Yeah. And so like to walk around saying like, I'm not ashamed of mm-hmm. this body, and like I get to feel connected within myself, however that looks like according to me, without feeling judgment or guilt or shame, you know, because a lot of times you know, I was speaking to someone earlier, and it's just like, you know, what's the stigma around sexual survivors, especially women, right? They say you either go really promiscuous, or mm-hmm. you're really prudish and you're within yourself.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily true. So I kind of wanted to represent like this in between, like I get to be confident and sexy, and I still get to come from a place that is uncomfortable, and I get for people to see me like in that form mm-hmm. and not feel like I have to hide myself.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good point in terms of not really knowing what spectrum you lie on. I mean,
there is no spectrum.
Yeah, but I,
the problem, right? And so like you keep getting like everything is labeled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who labels a victim of sexual violence, mm-hmm. right? How dare you say like, I'm promiscuous or I'm prudish? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but do you know what it's like to be victimized at such a young age that you actually have no identity? So that's also when you see signs of what that is, that's someone figuring out who they are mm-hmm. after like having that taken away from them. That's a process in itself, right? And so that experience was very different for all of us, mm-hmm. but I think it showed that there's a real need for us to have more of this. I mean, I wasn't thinking about belonging number two, right? And by that opening night, I mean, I've had partnership requests. I've had people saying, how can I support? Even up until today, I'm still having people saying, how can I support? And I'm being a little bit more deliberate on like, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I couldn't, if there wasn't a real need, people would not be asking me for another show.
Well, I mean, I think the need, you know, the need has always been there. I think what's happening now, maybe it's a generational thing, or maybe it's all these movements that are giving people voices. I think that people are becoming a little more comfortable trying to figure out what the next step is and how do I become better, in a sense, like how I've tend to see, because I've spoken to a couple of people as well, like not just about sexual violence, but just other, you know, other things that are going on, I guess, with, you know, with mental health. And there's just a lot of things that were so taboo in the past that people just were not comfortable even mentioning. And I always take mental health as one, because I feel like there is definitely a push in the Black communities now to really address mental health more so than before. And so I think that we're now in an era, you know, Black women are embracing themselves, they're embracing their complexions, they're embracing their hair textures. So it's kind of like this, it's not really a new movement, but it's just more self-acceptance. And I think people are slowly starting to say, you know what, I've lived with this long enough, whatever this is, and I kind of want to, you know, be free from whatever's been, you know, holding me back so that I could truly be women empowered. I can truly be, you know, a champion. So I think that that might be a lot of where the requests are. People are like, yeah, let's heal. Let's be better.
Yeah, I think that's one of the requests. I think I've received like feedback on both ends. I have a lot of people that are not ready.
Mm-hmm.
They will never be ready. I had people that wanted to come to the show that did not show up. Right. And that was just like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And like, including when I was on here and I was saying, like, my mother's not even talking to me. Mm-hmm. She's talking to me now, but it took her 6 weeks. Right. Mm-hmm. And so like, I'm not oblivious to the fact that this is not going to shift the world where everybody's accepting of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to make a dent in it.
Right? Well, that's and all that matters. I think
it matters. And it's also to like always, I feel like, it's always to just have, like, there needs to be a space that exists where, and I don't want to use the word safe space, I think it's such a overused word at this point, but there needs to be a space that exists for taboo conversations to happen, for someone that can say, like, hey, you know, I'm having, like, I'm a woman and my libido is here and I somehow I can't connect with the person that I'm with because a smell triggers me, right? Or, like, a certain position reminds me of this, or like, you know what, I was shamed so much that I can't even self-pleasure myself.
Mm-hmm.
Or self-pleasuring reminds me of this, or like even touch, you know, like all these things. And it's just like, there's no space like that. We're not there yet with belonging. Mm-hmm. But these are real problems. These are real issues that are also has to do with mental health and like conditioning. And obviously, like, when you're in survival mode, right, you know, when you're trying to survive through trauma, like, you have your default, or you have certain sets of behaviors that become so natural to you that is normal, but it's not, right? And so, like, it's not necessarily, like, having a space where I believe, so part of my mission is to eradicate sexual violence in our communities. I'm going to do everything that I can. You know, our mission is that, you know, to always be advocating on behalf of sexual violence survivors to eradicate that altogether. That's not work that's going to be done in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So if I keep thinking about that, I have to set up Alignment Arts, which houses belonging arts experience to kind of have legacy, to build legacy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we're in like that planning process right now, you know? And so like, I'm not aware that there are people that are very uncomfortable with what belonging arts stands for. But what I'm happy about is that there's more than enough support behind me, and the artists that still behind me, that are still standing behind me, that we're like a huge family that's like, keep going. What do you need? We're in the process of raising about $45,000 right now to make sure that Belonging Now, which is the second Belonging series, I guess.
Or the second in the series.
Second in the series is called Belonging Now, which is a little bit, touches up on like what it means to exist after trauma. And, you know, we're raising money to make sure like we really have the impact that we need to have through this second installation. And so, you know, the work requires work, which requires money, which requires like fine tuning and, you know, experimenting with different, you know, avenues on where belonging can go. So there's definitely going to be a lot more conversation around that starting in the new year.
Well, I think that, I mean, you know, you definitely touched on a point that it's although there are many that are like, we need more of this, we need this, there are definitely others who cannot, they cannot yeah. move forward. And that I totally understand.
It's a lot of pain. And yeah. so with those people, I'm just like, you know, honor yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put yourself in a position where you feel like you're unsafe to mm-hmm. yourself. You know, we're not forcing people to be in a position where they feel unsafe. Mm-hmm. So I've always said, like, if you feel like this is an unsafe environment, or if you feel like you don't trust yourself in this moment, please honor where you're at. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing part of belonging that was forced. Even through the 2 days, there was some of the artists that were really uncomfortable. There was artists that could not walk in the space, and not that it was like this dark heaviness mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe seeing one installation reminded them of something, or like, you know what, it became so real that it wasn't a negative experience. They went home and had that conversation mm-hmm. with their family. It was kind of like a call to like be responsible for how they showed up in that process. Mm-hmm.
But I still find that safe space, although it is a word that is overused, mm-hmm. I still feel like it's still appropriate.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you know, I have several chat groups with my friends on like WhatsApp. I belong to like 5 different group chats. And a lot of times, depending on whatever the topic is, you will find that, you know, even amongst your group of friends, there are certain things that you're not comfortable in talking about or experiencing, right? And these could be people who you're really, really close with. But to know that there is a space that you feel is, oh, I can be like, this is safe because I can talk I can talk about what's happening because I know that there are people, like, we all came here because we have this burden, or we have this this issue, or we have this need to, you know, to heal. And so I think that I find that still using the word safe space to a lot of people, you know, it still resonates with them because it's like, I need a place that is safe because my friend's circle is not safe. My home is not safe. My church isn't safe. So I definitely, you know, and I've told you this several times before, like, definitely commend like the work that you're doing, because there are a lot of organizations. I mean, I've been to a lot of, you know, panels and stuff. And then there's tables, like you said, there are tables who are like, if you need more information, you know, take a pamphlet. And sometimes you're wondering, like, after the pamphlet, though, like, what happens? Like, you know, are you...
And even during belonging, like, we had people within the space that I actually assigned as, like, you're that safe person. Mm-hmm. If you witness any triggering or you see anything that your heart and your soul is calling you to pay attention to, please, like, introduce yourself. I mean, mm-hmm. we had 2 people in between. Like, I wasn't unaware of that. Mm-hmm. But I needed to look different. I didn't need to say, oh, hey, by the way, there's someone in the room that if you... Like, it was such a connected experience mm-hmm. that I literally get about, like, 10 to 15 text messages a day. Literally straight since belonging about, oh, my God, this just came to my mind. Oh, this person gave me a hug. This person hold my hand. I mean, I haven't even rolled out half the pictures from mm-hmm. this event. And it was amazing to see that even in pictures, like what the energy and the spirit that flowed through that space mm-hmm. did. You were right. Like, you know, did create a safe space where people still look at me and say, she's safe. And so I can send her this message and I mm-hmm. can connect her with this person. And we believe in her so much, because to hold that kind of space is intense, mm-hmm. but I didn't hold it by myself, you know? And so
yeah.
also preserving what safe space is, because I didn't want people leaving out of there saying, oh, this is just a 2-day thing. Mm-hmm. What do they know about my experience post belonging, and how do they plan on supporting me? Mm-hmm. And I'm still, you know, also working on what those steps look like mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. And I think that's usually, where the issue comes in for some people, where they're like, I would love to, you know, come to these events and experience, but after I'm all opened up and, you know, the wounds are like exposed, like, I'm supposed to just go home and do what? And so some people would prefer not to, yeah. like, they want to, but because they're so used to opening up and then mm-hmm. not, you know, not closing yeah. or not, you know, receiving the healing, they're just like, I'm just not going to do that to myself. And so I yeah. find that that's definitely, I think, a strong point of what you're doing, is that you're not just opening wounds, but you're actually seeking to help people heal.
Yeah, and so I remember it was either a book I read or something that I was watching online, and this might be different for people. We never close. Like, our wounds are never closed. Mm-hmm. I think that's the problem. It's like when they say, oh, you know, why would you, you know, ask for closure? There's no such thing as closure. Mm-hmm. Every day that we get up, yeah, I can be triggered by, like, smell throws mm-hmm. me off so bad. People ask my husband, like, really, how is Lori? Smell triggers me so much. Like, if I smell a certain cologne on someone, mm-hmm. I'm like, what is that? And I will go home fixated on this smell, mm-hmm. not because the smell is great, but because it reminds me of this person, mm-hmm. right? And so, like, I could be doing the healing work for 15, 20 years. And so, like, if in any moment we think, like, oh, book closed, mm-hmm. that's a lie. And I think that's what makes that us have such an unhealthy mental illness. I don't know. I said that wrong. But, you know, it makes it, our society,
like, a false understanding of the situation. Yeah,
to tell somebody, like, oh, you're 100% cured, like, besides, like, things that are curable, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, like, if you spent 10 to 15 years of your life going through certain traumas, you don't heal in 1 year. Yeah. You don't heal in 1 day. That's an irresponsible way to tell somebody to approach their healing process. Mm-hmm. But what I do get to say is, like, no, like, you're gonna go home, like, even me, like, I'm still doing the work, right? Mm-hmm. But it might look different for me at 16-year-old Laura, at 34-year-old Laura, mm-hmm. and I get to keep exploring that and keep looking at, like, what my options are and keep finding organizations that are in alignment with what I feel like my healing should look mm-hmm. like, and keep finding, like, circles of support and keep finding safe spaces and keep being vocal and advocating to eradicate sexual violence, whether my mother talks to me or not. Mm-hmm. And also always looking at the risk, but I will jump right in. And so, like, I think, like, to tell someone, like, you know, close, there's no such thing. Mm-hmm. If we actually walked around as close people, I think we would actually be a much harder society. Mm-hmm. I think what keeps us, you know, soft a little bit and, like, opening up or creating spaces like Belonging and all these organizations like Ray of Hope Walk, you know, is us being open, saying, like, we won't let trauma close us up. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll keep doing the work, and we get to, like, say what that work looks like, and we have options, we have choices. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't, and I had spoken to a couple of the artists about, like, how I feel about the self-care movement and how it's really focused on the external care of a person, but it's really your internal self, like, working on your healing your heart mm-hmm. and connecting to your body and checking your mind and where you're at and who, how you speak about yourself. These are all internal. They're not external. Mm-hmm. So sometimes taking a bubble bath ain't going to do shit for you.
Yeah. It's true.
It's not going to do anything for you. If you walk through the day and you feel like shit inside, what mm-hmm. does that do? But yeah, it might be like, hey, I have a safe person that I can call because I verbally need to release this. Mm-hmm. I need to get this out of my system. And then I can probably sit down for like 5 seconds and journal, you know, mm-hmm. and then say, okay, I feel a little bit better. But like, it's every day, it's work, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally understand that point. And I think when I was there on the first day of the experience, I didn't get to talk to you much about what happened on day two. I guess we'll talk offline about that. But on day...
Something happened to you on day two?
No, me. I didn't get to go on day two. Yeah, so I was like, yeah. I was like, man, I was like, I haven't followed up to see, like, was it different? Like, what yes. happened? I mean, I'm sure 100%. It was, but I wanted to...
I kept telling everyone, like, come, you know, like, I mean... We had a great turnout both days. Mm-hmm. They were two completely different days. You know, the energy was different. What we wore was different.
I didn't see any posts. I was like, man, like, I really felt shut out mm-hmm. of day two because I didn't see anything.
It's rolling out soon.
All right. So I just have to wait then, like everybody yeah. else. Fine. Treat me like everybody else.
You're special.
But I will say day one, you know, the only day that I was able to go for myself, it's funny when you were talking about like the coloring. So when it took me to when I was young, I loved coloring books. I don't know, I stopped coloring, but I loved coloring books when I was younger. And I could never draw. So I used to say, you know, I'm not an artist, I'm a colorist. Because I used to always, like, so when I sat down and I think you had actually, like, handed me the sheet of paper and I'm like, all right, fine, I guess I'm going to just draw something. I found myself, like, intensely, like, you know, creating, like, this whole, like, story on paper. Like, first I, you know, started with, like, you know, I'm going to do a little woman. And then I found myself drawing, like, sand. And then I started drawing water, and then it ended up becoming an experience that I actually translated on paper of, you know, well, one of my, and I actually had a headstone that said RIP in the
actually,
water.
I have it.
Oh, you have it? You have it, yes. So I just kept like going in, and I was drawing like the sharks, and I was drawing blood from the mouth, and I was, and I realized, and I, it's after a while I looked at some like, what the hell is going on here? But it was a specific moment of when one of the people who had like abused me when I was a kid, they ended up dying like some freak accident at like the beach where a tide just out of nowhere drag them. And so the reason that there's the shark and the blood was because the only way that they could identify and confirm that that was the person is because they found their teeth, pieces of remnants of their body in the water. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was just interesting. Like, I was just like, I'm just going to start coloring this thing. You know what I mean? And so when you're talking about innocence of, you know, hula hooping, like that stuff that I had loved to do when I was a kid, and then like I realized that there was a point where you just stopped doing it and you don't know why you stopped doing it. And so I, you know, just being like a kid again was like, it was a good experience, like, oh man, I really enjoyed these things, like pogo sticks. But then it was like, oh, but I hated being a kid. Being a kid wasn't fun. Yeah, it wasn't fun. So it was like kind of a weird feeling, like this is cool, but I don't really want to enjoy this too much because then it's going to bring me back to being a child, and I don't want to be back to being a child. So I thought that, you know, I'm like, you know, for me, I felt like that was like, you know, oh, this is very interesting. So I can't imagine like other people who, you know, walked in there thinking that they're just going to come and support Laura, you know, what they left feeling. So I definitely think that approaching it from an artistic point, I think, is totally different. And I was talking to somebody randomly a couple of weeks ago about it, too. And they were just like, that's interesting. Arts? I was like, yeah, because you were so used to talks, you know, talks and panels and movie screenings and books and stuff like that, but never like
fully immersed.
And you know, I was thinking about some of the poets that were sharing, and I was just like, this is, you know, you could feel the emotion from them. You can feel, you like, I was standing there and I was just like, I feel their story. I understand where they're coming from, because there was just so much emotion going through that night. So I mean, you know, we could talk about the night all night, obviously. But I mean, what we talked about, some of the, you know, some of the next steps. There's going to be a belonging to that's going to be a belonging now, right? And so we talked about, you know, you raising money to kind of, you know, to make sure that this belonging experience continues and that you can approach it from different angles, right? So how can, so for those of, and for those of us who were not able to go through the, you know, the full experience, for those of us who are still trying to understand, oh, what is belonging? What is Lyman Arts? This sounds cool, but how do I support? You know, I'm not an artist. I'm not a poet. Is there another way that I can lend my assistance to make sure that this becomes, you know, a big thing?
Okay. So to go back on what Alignment Arts is, Alignment Arts is the company that produces Belonging. Mm-hmm. And Belonging is an immersive art experience specifically focused on eradicating sexual violence. There will be productions in the future focusing on other causes. Mm-hmm. So Alignment Arts is more like mission driven. So okay. Every production that goes through Alignment Arts has to have an actual call, a cause. Mm-hmm. And so the first one is sexual violence in our communities, like eradicating that. Obviously, because it's my personal story, but it's an epidemic and it shouldn't still be. Mm-hmm. Right? And that goes anywhere from working with legislators to organizations that have a voice that can help us propel forward. Right? Belonging now is the second installation of the art experience. And that is happening March 12th and 13th during Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. It's not exclusive to women survivors. That's something that I really want to stress. We did have a lot of men come forward, not in the way that I was assuming, right? Mm-hmm. But we've had a lot of men asked to align with Alignment Arts in regards to the Belonging Arts production. So I'm hoping that more male and you know, non-gender mm-hmm. folks come forward. I think it's important to also know, like, what triggers a lot of communities is the underlying is usually violence. Mm-hmm. Whether that's domestic violence, sexual violence, you know, hate crimes, you know, there's a lot of things that cause people to become victims. Mm-hmm. Right? And so right now, where most folks can find Belonging specifically is on Instagram at Belonging Art Experience. If they want to follow like me as the creator of Alignment Arts and Belonging, they can find me at _ Laura J. Jax or Laura.
You got to spell out the Jean-Jac though, because okay. You know.
So I took mercy on you guys to not like Jean Jaquez, you know. So it's _ LauraJJacques.
Right? Okay.
I'm mostly on Instagram, so that's where you can find me or like a team member to engage with. All of our contact information is on there. We're going to be rolling out probably crowdfunding in the next month or two to help raise part of that $45,000 goal. We're also still going to continue doing like our philanthropy work and aligning ourselves with other nonprofits. I'm hoping to make Alignment Arts a nonprofit by 2021. Mm-hmm. And like just several, like we're also working on an intimate conversation and action driven series. It's going to be 3 parts, January, February, March of next year. And we're going to continue highlighting a lot of the artists behind Belonging and what work they're doing. All of us are doing like heavy community mm-hmm. work, whether it be that we're educators or activists or, you know, social justice workers and, you know, just different aspects of who we are. And like, also like part of Belonging was to showcase, like, these are the beautiful humans that we've become out of trauma. Like, mm-hmm. look at what we were able to create besides being an artist. But like the work that we've all have gone into is actually in alignment with on a subconscious, conscious level, however we choose to say that, mm-hmm. that is a direct reflection of like how we're choosing to like still find our place in this world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's important to tell the story from different perspectives. We have a lot of like digital storytelling content and, you know, all that good stuff.
Now, but with respect to the money though, because, yes, you know, money talks. So know. If somebody's like, listen, I love what you're doing, Laura, mm-hmm. you know, again, I mean, the creative stuff, I'm not really, you know, I don't really deal with that, but you know, where can I send my check to? Where can I, you know, send this Cash App to?
Do I put the address on here?
I mean, as long as you're safe. I'm a shameless promoter. Listen, put it all out there. We're all about getting the money, because somebody could just, you know.
Belonging, Alignment Arts, I apologize, has 2 locations. So we're based in the Prospect Lefferts Garden area of Brooklyn, and we're based also in the Bed-Stuy Bushwick community. We have our office at 495 Flatbush Avenue, Suite 47, at our Brooklyn Commons locations. Mm-hmm. And so we belong to a community of small businesses, creators, nonprofits, name them. We're all housed in this beautiful co-working community called Brooklyn Commons. So if you need to send me a check, you can send it to 495 Flatbush Avenue, Suite number 47, or you can send it to 7 Marcus Garvey Boulevard, Suite number 208. If you need to reach me directly, you can reach out at Alignment Arts @gmail.com, or you can reach me at hello@belongingartexperience.com.
Can they slide up in your DM if that's easier?
Okay. DMs, as long as you're appropriate.
Yes, please, people. Be nice. Appropriate is the key word.
I will bite back. Don't test me. So reach out to me on either the Belonging Art Experience IG or under my personal IG. I'm very responsive. You can even put a comment under a post. I'm not that type of person that will delete comments if it's appropriate.
Now, what if there's somebody who's out there who's like, I gotta be part of this team? Are you still open to receiving new team members? And they would contact you in the same way?
Same way.
All right,
I mean,
cool.
If you knew how half of my support team came about, some people showed up day of and was just like, what can I do?
Oh, wow.
And so I'm very open, you know.
Okay. All right. So, Laura Jean-Jacques. I call her Laura sometimes now,
you
too.
Call me Laura.
I call her whatever.
Yeah, you call me LJJ.
Thank you so much for coming back to According to RP and sharing, you know, about the experience. Again, it's one of those things where it's not so easy to, you know, talk about, to, you know, revisit. But I think it's really important, the work that you do. And I feel like a lot of people are currently benefiting from it, are going to benefit from it. And I definitely look forward to, you know, the Belonging Now and the other initiatives that you're going to be setting forth under Alignment Arts. I think it is important to note that, you know, there are people who they might be interested in you know, you and in the energy, the activism, but they might not necessarily be
identifying
with Belonging, but that there are other things to come under Alignment Arts. Yes, so that if you are somebody who's out there who wants to, you know, get active and be more than just talk, then they can still reach out to you and, you know, be part of some of your other projects.
Yes.
All right. Any last words for the people?
Thank you for having me. This was amazing.
All right. Well, with that being said, everyone, thank you for listening to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. And it's a wrap.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMS.